Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
I'd like to say once again how great it is to be here. What an honor it is to celebrate with you and celebrate with your great pastor and his family, and just to reflect for a few moments and see and remember how good God has been. God's been good to all of us, hasn't he? Amen. And Brother Calhoun is so complimentary, always deflecting the honor elsewhere, and so kind in his comments, but you know, and I know, there's no finer preacher in Pentecost than the man standing right here on this platform and feed your soul. Amen. And I just count it an honor that he would consider me a friend, and he has been such a dear friend to me the last 15 years or so, and the ups and downs and the highs and lows, and there will be some in the journey. There'll be some good times and there'll be some tough times, but he has certainly been a friend and an encouragement and a strength to me. There ever was a time we need one another, it's today. Amen. There ever was a time we need to be there for each other and be a strength to one another. And I pray that God would help me be a strength to his people in these end times. We are living in perilous times. The word means dangerous. We're living in dangerous times. And when I see people give up and throw up their hands and walk away, it reminds me it's dangerous times. When I see people just give in to the wrong spirit, it reminds me it's dangerous times. I want to stay the course. I want to be faithful all the way to the end. And I need all the help that, all the help I can get. Amen, to get there. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, I'll be reading an Old Testament scripture, and then I'll be turning over to the New Testament. And I will do my best to not keep you as long tonight as I did this morning. And time just got away from me, and I went longer than I intended. I guess that's what happens when you're having a good time. And I love being in the house of God, being among God's people. I love this church. Thank you for honoring your man of God and taking the time to celebrate God's goodness. Amen. And as God blesses your pastor, he blesses you. And we all share in God's great blessings. And just an honor to share these moments with you this weekend. Thank you for the room and the basket and all of the amenities. And I'm just very, very, very blessed this weekend, and just feel blessed to be among all of you. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, and then I'll also be reading from the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 there. Acts 9 and 1, we'll start at 1 Samuel 22. I have preached this message only one other time. I preached it in my home church, and they tell me that's where you need to try it out and make sure it's passable as you preach it at home. So I preached it there, and it seemed to go over. So if it doesn't go over tonight, then I'll know they were just being kind to me. 1 Samuel chapter number 22 and verse number 17, and the king said unto the footman, and that king was named Saul. The king said unto the footman that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons, or 85 persons, that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women. And moving over to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, and I'm reading there verse number 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I read to you two very different passages, but they have a common theme here. And if you would like a title tonight, I'd like to preach First and Second Saul. First and Second Saul. Could we just lift our hands and lift our voices together and ask the Lord to bless us with His Word one more time. Father, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to be in Your house. God, we're so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. God, we're grateful to have the chance to praise You and to worship You. Thankful, Lord, together with Your people. Thankful to feel Your presence. In Thy presence, there is fullness of joy. And at Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Touch us in this place. Bind our hearts together. Let our minds be open and receptive to the Word of God. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. God, we thank You for it. We praise You for it. We bless You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time and give the Lord praise. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. You have heard of 1 and 2 Kings, and you've heard of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles, but I want to give you 1 and 2 Saul tonight. And New Testament has 1 and 2 Corinthians and 1 and 2 Timothy, And there's a first and a second, even a third John. But I want to introduce to you First and Second Saul. One Saul belongs to the Old Testament, and the other Saul belongs to the New Testament. The first Saul lived during the covenant of Abraham with Israel, under the law of Moses, the Israel, and the second Saul lived during the days of a different covenant, God's new birth covenant with the church. When I look at the Saul of the Old Testament and the Saul of the New Testament, I see that there are actually quite a number of similarities between the two. The first thing that stands out to me tonight is that they were both of them from the same tribe. If you will remember the story back in 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel was given the responsibility to find a king for the nation of Israel. And during this choosing process, all of the tribes gathered before the prophet, and it was, according to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 20, it was the tribe of Benjamin that was singled out. And so as this young man by the name of Saul, the son of Kish, he was the first Saul. He was declared to be the ruler or the first king over all of Israel. When you get into the New Testament, you find this second Saul. He penned his resume and he proudly detailed for us his Jewish heritage. In Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 5, he said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. First Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, and second Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. If they had genetic testing in that day, you'd find very similar DNA. You'd find the same genetic code, basically, because they came from the same family, the same bloodline, the same lineage. These are similarities between first Saul and second Saul. Very similar background for the two. You find other similarities, such as both of them were young men that showed great potential early in life. You find that the first Saul, he was a very striking man, that he stood head and shoulders taller than all of the rest of the men of Israel, head and shoulders higher than all everybody else in the nation. He cut quite a striking figure. You find out that second Saul, the Saul of the New Testament, that perhaps of stature he was not that impressive, but when it came to schooling and education, in the book of Galatians, he said that he excelled all of his equals. He made better grades. He took it more seriously. He was more studious than all of the other students that he went to school with. And so both of these men, they showed great potential early in life. They showed that they had leadership skills early in life. Both of these men turned out to be leaders. The Old Testament Saul was anointed to be the very first king that Israel ever had. He was a leader. Early on, he led the people into battle, and he was a victorious military hero, if you will. He was a leader. The New Testament Saul, he was also a leader. In fact, I've already alluded to the fact that he was first in his class. He was influential among elders. In fact, he was on great terms with the chief priest, and he could get permission from them for particular goals and particular direction. And so he was a leader. He was in touch. He was influential, this New Testament Saul as well. Both of these men also came to prominence amidst significant upheaval and transition. I'm sure that you remember that the first Saul stepped onto the stage of Israel as the nation was being transformed. It was in transition from a theocracy, which means God ruled, where the people followed judges that was anointed by God, and prophets who were mouthpieces of Jehovah. And it was transformed from being a theocracy to a monarchy, which means to be king-ruled or to be man-ruled. And while Israel was in this transition from one form of leadership to another, first Saul stepped on the scene. Second Saul, we find that he came into his own also at a crucial moment. It was also a great time of upheaval.
The church was beginning to emerge on the scene as a powerhouse. It was growing. It was blossoming. And the Jewish religion had begun its demise. Would not be long, there would be no more animal sacrifices at the temple. It wouldn't be long till the nation and the citizens of Israel and Judea would be scattered around the world. It was a time of transition. Judaism was on the decline and the church was on the rise. It was a great time of upheaval and transition. Another similarity that I find between First Saul and Second Saul is that both of them had a tendency to oppose the will of God. We find that particularly when David arrived in the kingdom of Israel, we find that David was obviously blessed with favor, and he succeeded in just about every endeavor. He was mighty in battle, and he was musically gifted, and he was honored and celebrated by the masses. And it just seemed that the jealousy of Saul could not be contained. That jealousy caused Saul to be moved to resist the young man and to stop him and to eye him, the Bible said, and even at times to try to take him out. And it's kind of similar as to how the early church was spreading like wildfire in the time of the second Saul. And it began to break into the Jewish communities. And the church began to spread across the land. And Saul of Tarsus felt desperate. We've got to bring this new movement to a halt. Both of them had a tendency. Saul, King Saul, opposed the rise of David, who the hand of God was on. And Saul of Tarsus opposed the rise of the New Testament church, also upon which the hand of God was on. Y'all see the similarities between the two? Quite a similar background for both First Saul and Second Saul. And I'm going to tell you this, they were also, both of them were willing to be destructive to reach their goals. They were willing to be destructive. King Saul, at times, in a moment of rage and in his jealousy, he would throw a javelin at David as he sat there innocently playing his harp and singing his songs and trying to soothe the irritable spirit and mood of King Saul. And yet Saul, there was something destructive about him. If he could have got by with murdering David, he would have done it. If he could have aimed it and taken the boy out, he would have been successful, if at all possible. And he was willing to be destructive. You find that Saul of Tarsus was there, and he consented to those around Stephen that he consented. He gave the permission. He gave the green light for them to stone that gospel preacher and make a martyr out of Stephen that day. They were willing to be destructive. Amen. You find out that King Saul also, when he found out that the priest Ahimelech had made kind gestures toward David as David was on the run and had been willing to share bread from the house of God with him and had been willing to lend to him the sword of Goliath to help him in his battles and his struggles out in the wilderness, that Saul could not contain his anger. And Saul was so incensed that he sent Doeg the Edomite. And at the end of the day, all of the priests in the city of Nob, except for one, was slain. And that it was so out of control that entire city was totally annihilated because Saul had murder in his heart. Saul wanted to put down. Thank you for honoring the pastor tonight. Thank you for honoring the man of God. Amen. That first Saul didn't have any kind of respect for a man of God. Willing to tell Doeg the Edomite to wipe out all of the priests in the city of priests. He was willing to go to extremes in his anger over the priest of God. You find that the second Saul, Saul of Tarsus, the Bible said, starting out Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 1, we find that the Bible said, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Just as the first Saul was willing to slay all of the priests in the city of Nob, this Saul was breathing out threats, and it was slaughter. He wasn't talking about murder. He was talking about slaughter. He would have wiped out every Christian. He would have destroyed every child of God. He would have shut down every church that he could. And he intended to. Amen. And he went to the high priest desiring letters that if he found any in Damascus, that he would bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Both of these men were willing to be destructive against the people of God. You folks still with me today? Amen. Let me tell you another similarity. Both of them were dealt with severely by God. Both of them. When you begin to read the story of 1 Saul, you find out 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14, some of the saddest words of Scripture are these. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, you need to see tonight that it wasn't a spirit from the devil. It wasn't something from the pit of hell. But God dealt severely with Saul. He didn't get away with his attitude. He didn't get away with his destructive tendencies. He didn't get away with his rebellion. God dealt with Saul severely and sent an evil spirit to trouble him. It was so apparent, it was so obvious that even his servants, the Bible said in verse number 15, even they knew that this spirit had been sent by God. They recognized, Saul, you've got the kind of attitude that God is opposing you. God is blocking your progress. God's not going to let you get away with it. God is going to stop you in your tracks. Even his servants knew that God had come along to trouble Saul. They knew the origin of this spirit. We find out that the second Saul was on a journey to Damascus, and find here that suddenly there was a light that shone down from heaven. And the Bible tells us that he fell to the earth. This light knocks him flat down. And that when he arose, that his eyes were opened and he saw no man. He was blind. He couldn't see anything. 3 days he was without sight. This man also, God stopped him in his tracks. God blocked his progress. God got his attention. God knocked him off of his high horse. Amen. 3 days he was without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I want to tell you tonight, God knows how to prove who's in charge. God knows how to get people's attention. And yet, this is where the similarities come to an end. They were both from the same tribe. They both had great potential early on. They were both certainly leaders. Both of them, they came to prominence in a time of great upheaval. Both of them had a tendency to oppose the will of God. Both of them were willing to be destructive. Both of them were dealt with severely by God. But that is where the similarities come to an end. Because one Saul ended up dismissed by God, and he died disgracefully at the hand of the enemy. But the other Saul was converted and changed his life and became a Christian. And not only a Christian, he became a preacher. Not only became a preacher, he became a soul winner. Not only became a soul winner, he became an apostle. And we are still reaping the benefits of his ministry 2,000 years later. We're talking about Paul. We're preaching about Paul, testifying about Paul, quoting scriptures that Paul wrote. We are still benefiting from the man and his walk with God. Oh, I want to give some folks some hope tonight. I look at two men, and they made some of the same mistakes, but they arrived in different destinations. Two men, they had the same temperament. They got angry at the same things in the same way, and yet they ended up at two different destinies. Two men, they came from the same background. They had the same DNA. They had the same genetic code, but they ended up in two different places. Two men, they had the same destructive tendencies and habits, but one of them went on to destruction himself, and the other one saw his life completely change. Oh, that ought to give somebody some hope. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, I can't be any different. You don't know my family. Well, there's not much hope for me. You don't know my background. You just don't understand what I struggle with because of where I came from and what's in my past and all of that. I'm going to tell you, hey, man, you can be that second Saul. If the second Saul could break away from the family, if the second Saul could see conversion, if the second Saul could be transformed, I want to tell you today, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What is it that made the difference? What is it? What is it that brought about the transformation? Well, let me just tell you here tonight. One Saul didn't have a church, and the other Saul did have a church. Oh, I thank God for the church today. Amen. What made the difference is the second Saul got close enough to the church for the church to make an impact on him. Amen. He got near enough to the church that the church had more influence on him than he was able originally to have on the church. I thank God for the church. I thank God for people who will pray with me when I'm down. I thank God for preaching that'll get right down to where I live and will correct my course. I thank God for saints, amen, that they can worship when I don't feel like worshiping. Thank God for people that are faithful and are a great example to what a Christian ought to be, that I can follow when my mind is in a fog. Oh, hallelujah. He got close to the church, and the church made a difference in his life. Let me give you a few differences. The difference between first Saul and second Saul tonight. The thing that turned the second Saul around was he got a message from the right source. Where the first Saul messed up is he was always getting his messages from the wrong source. Oh, but the second Saul, when he was lying flat on his back there on that Damascus road, and he lifts his voice and says, who art thou, Lord? He gets the word back, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, that's where the message started. Amen. He got a message from the right source, a heavenly source. I am Jesus. That's where it started. The Lord was talking to him. You find out that the first Saul, he messed up. One thing is you find he went to the wrong sources to get his message. One of the last acts of his life is he went to the witch of Endor, who went to the grave to talk to the dead. That's the wrong source. You don't need to be looking down. You need to be looking up. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God you can get a message from the right source tonight. Thank God we can hear a sound from heaven still today. Something that'll pull us higher. Something that'll lift up our heads. Something that'll get our minds in a new direction today. Oh, praise God. We find out that the second Saul got a message from the right source. Amen. He got the message about who God Almighty is. Oh, he understood there's only one God. He understood, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And he knew that Jesus is his name. It was Paul that wrote later on, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He got his message from the right source. He knew there was only one God. It was Paul that wrote, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Got his message from the right source. Amen. The day that the preacher stepped in, amen, told him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He got the message from the right source. He was baptized in the name. Amen. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He got the message from the right source. Amen. First Saul went to the wrong source. I want to tell you, Paul talked about there are many voices in this world, and none of them are without signification. There's a lot of voices calling to us tonight. There are media voices. There are political voices. There are entertainment voices. There are far to the right voices and far to the left voices. There's academic voices. There's all kinds of voices today. But oh, let me tell you, we better get tied back in. We better get tuned back in to the voice that'll give us some direction. Hallelujah. First Saul was looking in the wrong direction. Amen. But the second Saul had a transition in his life because he got a message from the right source. Amen. When I walk in the house of God, I say, I want somebody to preach to me. I want to hear something. I've got some devils to fight this week. I need a message from God. I've got some challenges waiting on me tomorrow. I need something that will give me some guidance. Sometimes I wonder how I can walk through the valley, but if I can just hear the voice of my Father, he said, his sheep know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow? If I could just hear his voice, I'll know how to walk. Amen. Let me tell you a second thing that second Saul had that the first Saul never got a hold of. And that was he had a man sent by God. That's what started him off in the right direction. Amen. A man sent by God. Not only a message from the right source, but he had a man sent by God. Now, I don't know very much about Ananias. I don't know if he ever penned an epistle to any church. I don't know if he ever preached a revival anywhere. I don't know if he pastored 10 people, if he pastored 100 or 1,000. I don't know if he ever preached a conference or a camp meeting, or his mug was on any flyer that was sent out or posted on IG. I don't know anything about Ananias. I don't know if he preached any masterpieces. I don't know if he was a special speaker at anniversary services. But I do know this. He was sent by God to preach to one man who was blind, who was needy, who was desperately looking for direction in his life, and Ananias had the message, and Ananias had the courage to walk into that room and say, "Brother Saul, the same God that appeared to you on the road to Damascus is the same Jesus that sent me, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to recover your sight, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost." It was a man sent by God. Amen. I don't know how many Bible studies he taught. I don't know how many thousands that he addressed, or what conventions that he was invited to. I just know that he was instrumental in reaching one man because he was sent by God. Hey, one person is worth reaching for. Thank you, Lord. And because of the ministry of Ananias, the blindness of the second Saul was lifted, and he could see. And because he was obedient, he was baptized. Because he was obedient, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he started on his way. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There was a man sent from God. And because somebody recognized the man with a calling. Let me tell you, there's two kinds of people that go to church. It's people who cannot be pastored and people who are willing to be pastored. And I don't think I have to try to talk very long or talk about where the blessing is. It's in the people that recognize I've had a man sent from God. And he's going to preach to me. And sometimes he's going to step on my toes. But I'm not just supposed to hear it. I'm supposed to obey it. Ananias brought Saul a message not just to hear, but a message to obey. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's something that the first Saul never did get right. When Samuel got on his toes a little bit, and when Samuel said, "Saul, thou hast done foolishly," the Bible said he saw no more the face of Samuel until his death. Didn't want to hear the preacher. He didn't agree with me. He didn't want to walk out there in front of everybody with all he wanted to do was correct me. He didn't try to soothe my feelings. He confronted me about my disobedience. He wasn't worried about whether I liked him at that moment or not. And so I just refuse to see the face of Samuel now. It's a bad mistake, Saul. Amen. You may get your feelings hurt, but you need Samuel in your life. Saul, you may be king, you may be in charge, but you always need a man of God in your life. Saul, you may be the ruler over millions, but let me tell you, you got to have a prophet. You got to have a Samuel. The best thing you can do, Saul, is humble yourself on down and listen to the man that has been sent by God. And the first Saul wouldn't listen to Samuel, but the second Saul said, "He may be Brother Ananias, and he may not be traveling the country, and he may not be a big shot, he may not be chairman of anything or superintendent, but if he says get baptized, I'm going to get baptized. If he says he feels like laying hands on me, lay your hands on me, Brother Ananias. I want to be able to see. I want to get rid of this blindness." There was a man sent by God. Amen. That's what he had, a man sent by God. Had a message from the right source. Let me tell you something else the second Saul had. He said he had membership in the assembly of believers. Oh, praise God. Let me tell you, when this second Saul decided to start living in the church, living for God, wasn't long after his conversion that he's sharing his testimony and telling people what God has done for him. And nobody could deny the incredible change that had happened in this man's life. But not everybody was happy about Saul and his brand new life. Some of his old acquaintances decided to lay in wait and to catch him unaware and to assassinate him at a vulnerable moment. Right here in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 24, it says that they watched the gates day and night to kill him. They were serious about it. They weren't playing. They were going to take him out. And let me tell you, anybody who has removed themselves from the old kingdom, anybody who has become a citizen of the new kingdom, knows what I'm talking about. There's people, they'll try to trap you. They despise the new you. Amen. They hate it that you escaped the life they lived. They hate it that you got away, that you're proof that somebody can have victory over drugs, that you're proof that somebody can live a brand new life, proof that it can be done, you can whip alcohol, proof that, God can change your life. And I want to tell you, amen, when that old animosity, amen, those adversaries, what used to be friends now become adversaries, that's when you really need the church. When they come back around with the drugs and the alcohol and the parties and the invitation, trying to get you back in the new life, that's when you really need the saints. That's when you really need a pastor. That's when you need the church. Amen. Their prayers will get you through when your own prayer life is struggling. Oh, it will. Their worship will carry you along when it's difficult to get your hands up and get your mind on God. Hallelujah. Amen. And here is the New Testament Saul, and he's in a treacherous place. The old crowd that he used to hang with, they're trying to catch him at a vulnerable place. And the Bible said that the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. You need folks that'll have your back when the enemy is on your trail. And oh, I love the story and how that the church, the assembly of believers, they gave the new Saul, they gave him a place. They said, here's your place. He looked at that and said, man, that's a basket. I wanted a platform. Man, that's a small place. I wanted something big. Let me tell you, the small place is a safe place. They provided a place just big enough for Paul to get into and to be saved. But it kept him, and it preserved him, and it sustained him. I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for the church. I look back at times, and I see times the devil could have got me, but I was in the church. There were times it looked like the adversary was going to get the upper hand, but I went back to one more service. Amen. And it was the song that was sung. It was the right song. And the testimony that was given, it was the right testimony. And the words that were spoken, they were the right words. And the message that was preached, it was the right message. And the spirit that I felt, it was the right spirit that helped me hang on long enough to get me out of the clutches of the adversary that was trying to destroy me. Oh, thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. I thank God for my place in the church. It's a place of safety. It's a place of security. It's a place where I can find a refuge. Oh, praise God. Amen. But you know, the old Saul, The old Saul, he died unprotected on the battlefield. Nobody was around to stand by the old Saul. Nobody was there to keep the enemy away from him. He died in disgrace. In fact, he died at the hands of a soldier that was supposed to be in the same army, that was supposed to stand by his side and fight for him to the death. It was one of his own allies that finished him off. Oh, the sad ending of that first Saul. Nobody to stand with him. Nobody to protect him. In fact, it was this Amalekite soldier that showed up in the camp of David at Ziklag, bragging to David, "Hey, you don't have anything to worry about from the old Saul anymore. You know, when he asked me to, and it looked like he was in bad shape and he probably wouldn't have lived anyway, I just stood up on him and I slew him and I took his crown." That's what he said. 2 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 10. "I took his crown." What a way for the first Saul to die. After 40 years in his God-given position, after 40 years being God's anointed, after 40 years being in the forefront, after 40 years of respect and people looking up to him, at the end, he's all alone and somebody took his crown. Last thing that happens in the life of the first Saul is somebody took his crown. Oh, I hear echoes in the New Testament. "See that no man take thy crown." Oh, let me tell you tonight, there better be something inside of us that says, "Ain't nobody gonna take my crown. I'm going to hang on to it. I want to fight the good fight." I hear what Apostle Paul said, "For the time of my departure is at hand." And he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing." The second Saul said, "I'm still going to get my crown. I didn't lose it. I didn't drop it. Nobody stole it from me. I'm just about to go over and I'm going to get a grip on that crown. Nobody stole it away from me." Stand with me tonight. Stand with me tonight. Which one are you tonight? Are you the first Saul? Or are you the second Saul? Amen. Are you one that the enemy's just about to get your crown, just about to wrestle it away from you, thinking about giving up, wondering if this life is really worth it, wondering if you can survive the test, the valleys, the dark times, the struggles that you're in? Or are you going to be that second Saul, the one who became the apostle, the one who left the past behind, said, "I'm going to reach as many as I can for God. I'm going to build everything I can for the kingdom. I'm going to raise up and train and develop and disciple as many others that will follow behind me. And they're going to share this gospel. They're going to love the truth. They're going to carry it on. And when I'm departed and gone on to my reward, they're just going to take it on to another level." That's how the second Saul departed. I don't know how you feel. I don't want to end like the first Saul. I want to end like the second Saul. You can't fix the past. You can't fix where you came from. You can't fix who your family was, who your mom and dad are. You can't fix a lot of things, but you can fix how you approach the future. You can say, by the help and grace of God, I can't help anything that's behind me. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the second Saul said do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can reach it. I can get a hold of it. I can attain it. I can apprehend it. And I'm going to give it all I've got. Amen. I wonder the saints would gather around tonight. Just gather around the front here with me. And say, God, I don't want to be that first Saul. I want to be the second Saul. Lord, I know the things that I've had to struggle with. I know what's in my DNA. I know what's in my background. I know the temptations that I have. I know how I've stumbled and how I've fallen, and I know how I've tripped up and I've failed along the way. But God, I want to end like that second Saul. God, I want to get that crown of righteousness. God, I've got hope tonight that you're going to carry me all the way. I've got hope tonight that I'm going to finish strong. I've got hope tonight I'm going to cross the finish line. And I'm going to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If the second Saul could do it, I can do it. If the second Saul could leave the past behind, I'm going to leave the past behind. If the second Saul could get a hold of that crown, then there's hope for me tonight.